Remember, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. One of the formulas that you will hear when you come forth to receive ashes this evening. And while we all have our reasons for being here, at the very heart of this day is the very real reminder that when I die, there's life beyond this. And what I do now with this life will tell me where I will spend eternity. St. Paul in the second reading today talks to us about grace, how God in various times offers this to us so that we might respond well and readily to his promptings. This season of Lent is an act of charity from the church to us. It's kind of like that shock in which the dog receives from trying to go past the electric fence. It's better for the dog to be shocked in that way than it is for the dog to go into a very busy intersection. Such in the same way, this season of Lent is to serve for us as a shock so that we don't find ourselves getting hurt or worse, running into perilous danger. It's a gift meant to give us time to pause, to reflect, to discern, so that we can reassess and then recalibrate how it is that God has called us to live our lives. Lent should be nothing less than bringing us closer in our relationship with Jesus, in our walk toward holiness, to godliness. It's not about self-mastery, increasing discipline, losing weight, or even getting rid of our caffeine addiction. Sure, they can be unintended results, but the very first thing that should be on our heart during this season of Lent must be about strengthening our relationship with Jesus. And I have no doubt that some of us may be struggling with that particular idea. Why does it have to be about my quote-unquote relationship with Jesus? Is that even possible? Why does it have to be personal? Can't I just simply give up something as I've done all these years, every year? Isn't that enough? And there's a story that was shared with me recently about this very successful and attractive woman who was undergoing a lot of difficult issues. And I mentioned those two descriptors about her because, in all intents and purposes, by the eyes of the world, it seems as if she had it all together. And so with her problems, she approached this priest and expressed to him all that was wrong in her life. And the priest gave a question to her that seemed to come out of left field. And he said, "Before I can respond to what it is that you've asked of me, can I share with you how I view the world?" And after she had agreed, he began to share with her what is known as the kerygma. This word kerygma is in Greek. It stands for the apostolic proclamation of salvation through Jesus Christ. And after he shared with her creation, God, the necessity of Jesus, she expressed to him, "This is not the God I knew growing up." This anecdote comes from Father John Ricardo, who heads up Acts 29. It's a team with five individuals dedicated to helping parishes come to a great encounter with Christ. And they hold strongly that we as Catholics haven't really been affected by the kerygma, or at least in the way that we ought to have. You see, the understanding of the kerygma will not only be that answer to that woman's problem, but also is meant to give us a renewed sense of vigor, a greater infusion of the Holy Spirit. It's to change the way in which we see the world, renew our sights upon God, where we can find that refreshment through knowledge. Catechesis is important and necessary, but it is only one side of the coin. The other side involves this kerygma. Some may have heard this kerygma explained to them, but perhaps not in the way as envisioned by St. John Paul II. In his work, Catechesi Tridente, he expressed that the kerygma is the initial ardent proclamation by which a person is one day overwhelmed and brought to the decision to entrust himself to Jesus Christ by faith. Overwhelmed. Who of us here can say that we have been overwhelmed by the proclamation of the gospel? I garner to say that the word that we'd use perhaps would be more towards understanding. We have a knowledge of it. We know some of the practical implications that are tied to it. We might know for certain that Jesus is Lord, but to be overwhelmed, overwhelmed to the point that we want to surrender everything that we have to Him, to Christ. It's not hard to imagine that there's this huge chasm in between the two. It's easy for us to simply say, well, I do know what's right and what's wrong. I know the difference. I basically can visualize this checklist that I can make account for myself to see whether or not I'm on God's good side. And then there's also those who perhaps have once been overwhelmed by the message of the gospel. But then for that, the question has to be asked, have we gotten used to the magnificent? To this end, for the Sundays of Lent, during the homily time, we're going to dive into the kerygma. We're taking a pause from everything. We're not going to be diving into the reading of the day as is the cause, as the reason for having a homily. We're going to take time to really go further and deeper into the whole story of salvation. If some of the things in this world have caused you to question the goodness of God, the love of God, or maybe just things in your life, we pray that you join us or invite those who struggle with that and be a part of this journey with us, this series in which we hope and pray will be transformative for you. Not because of anything necessarily that we will share, but because Jesus, when we encounter Him, provides that powerful encounter. We'll be sharing much of what has been given to us through Acts 29. And it will all be focusing on four questions. Why is there something rather than nothing? Why is everything so obviously messed up? What, if anything, has God done about it? How do we respond? In the bulletin, or as an insert, there are going to be questions. Questions for you to take home, questions for you to pray about, so that indeed in your prayer life during this Lenten season, you can find yourself going deeper. My sincerest hope is that this period of time is not just about seeing how many things we can give up or what we can do, but rather that it gets to the very heart, the very basic thing in which all of us should be about. developing that relationship with Jesus, falling in love with him if we haven't, and recognizing that if he is at the heart of everything we do, we will realize how much it is that he will always remain the answer.